In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. You know, I have often said that the lectionary, the book that we proclaim the scriptures from, is very prophetic. It really speaks to our everyday experience. It challenges us. It encourages us. It calls us forth if we would listen to the Word of God. For the lectionary is only made up of the Word of God. This holy Word of God that when we used to pray the Our Father, we used to pray at Mass, formed by the Word of God, we dare to pray. Formed by the Word of God. I love that. To be formed by the Word of God. Well, the lectionary is the inspired Word of God that the Church gives us. And she has given this as a gift to us. But in the document on the Word of God, it's called Dei Verbum, and it's a beautiful document. You can Google it. The document on the Word of God called Dei Verbum, D-E-I, next word, V-E-R-B-U-M. It is one of the most beautiful documents you would ever want to read. This is a document that will not put you to sleep. This is a document that extols the power of God's holy word. This is a document that says the Church is not above the Word of God. This is a document that tells us that the Word of God is true, living, and active. When the Church gave us the lectionary, it is a prophetic book. It speaks to our times. We are now in the Lenten season. We journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, really, from our head to our heart, because that's the journey, on the way to Calvary, that all that we do in fasting and prayer and almsgiving would lead us into our heart, because the place of Lent is the heart. A clean heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Circumcise your heart. And not your bodies. I will take from you your stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh instead. That's what the Word of God says. This lectionary, during the Lenten season, will speak to us in the Church, because it's the Word of God. But I pray that we are not like what Isaiah prophesied and Jesus prophesied to the Pharisees, see and see and not see, hear and hear and not hear, for this people's hearts have grown hardened. My Lord, let me tell you some of the things that the lectionary will give us, some of the passages the lectionary will give us. I think today, the second day of Lent, we will hear from the 58th chapter of Isaiah. This is the fast that I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul. Is it a day to bow his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Do you call that a fast acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? Oh, that means there should be many confessions going on. Confessions should be opened, that we hear the people's confessions, especially during this Lent, especially to a people that have been told they have not sinned. This is the kind of fast that people would confess their sins and repent. We had confessions last night. Even if a few come, at least a few come, we open it up. Tonight, if we have Mass at 7:30, Thursday after Ash Wednesday, if people want to go to confession, I will hear your confession. I will hear your confession as you repent and give your life to Jesus again. You see, this is the kind of fast I have chosen, to loose the bonds and bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. And let me tell you, people are into heavy burdens today. I just want to tell you, I run an emergency room. It's called a spiritual emergency room. Triage is going on all the time. You have no idea about the poor people who call me and who come to me. Like, you have no idea. And you know, this morning I was screaming at a priest from Kathmandu because he wants money for the poor, and he wants me to give him references, and I'm saying, I'm one person. I can't do everything. I am not God. Now I have to email him, and I have to clarify that, because I was not very kind with him. But you see, sometimes it just goes right over your head. It's like a tidal wave. You just can't do it at this point. Especially this morning, when I spilled hot coffee on my stomach. You know? Well, I have to get over it. And I have to write to this priest and tell him I'm sorry. But I can only give him a limited amount of help. I'm just one person. I'm just one person. You see, as I said, we run a spiritual emergency room. You know, people calling me up this morning that this lady has somebody living in her house and she's pregnant, and oh gosh, the story went on and on and on. And what do I do? People coming to me, you know, they have no food. They have no money. They have no wherewithal. And so I have to help as I can help. You know, I'm not trying to say that I'm the best. I'm not. I'm just telling you, you know, to help those that are in need, to lead them to Christ, to pray for them, to give them hope. When a family comes to me, you know, it says to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. You see, if we're not involved in this, you know, we can fast till the cows come home. We can refrain from eating porridge till the cows come home. We can live on bread and wine or bread and water till the cows come home. But unless we do these things that Isaiah says, this is the kind of a fast that I call, then you know what? Our fast means nothing. And it's not that we are saved by our works. It's faith working through love. It's faith working through love. And the church will hear this reading 3 or 4 times during Lent. It is not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and to bring the poor that are cast out into your house. This is what the Bible says. To feed the hungry. To feed the hungry. Yes, spiritually, because people are starved spiritually. But also physically. To feed the hungry. How many times have people come and had nothing? I open my freezer. I have food. I can't not give it to them. To open my house to the poor, well, the diocese won't let me. But you know what? I do the best I what? I do the best I can. Imagine if we opened our houses to the poor. We opened our schools to the poor. The schools that are empty. And imagine if we'd be like Catherine Drexel, who converted and who sent the Native Americans to schools with her fortune, or Mother Cabrini, who helped wayward women, or Elizabeth Ann Seton, who had a school system for the poorest of the poor. Imagine if we opened our schools to the homeless, and we brought the gospel to them, and we fed them, and we taught them of the walking in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. We would shine like stars in this crooked and perverse generation. And this is not this what we will be reading during Lent three times. And will not this be a reproach against us and a judgment against us that we speak these words, but the words are not put into action? That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. Your words are many, but your deeds are few. Produce the deeds that show your repentance. You see, we condemn ourselves by the very readings that we proclaim. Unless we do what God's word says. St. James says, we are like people looking in a mirror, forgetting what we see. St. James says, you are not saved by faith alone. No, we are saved by grace through faith, which produces love, faith working through love. I'm telling you, the words during Lent are prophetic that the church gives us in the lectionary. And if we do not live them, they become a judgment to us. We are not playing a practice game like the Red Sox now. These games that we are playing is called life. And if we don't live it by faith, working through love, we are under the judgment of God. And you know what? We are under the judgment of God. God is judging us for speaking lofty words. As Father Erickson said in the Herald, these are days of renewal. And you know what God says? Prove it. Prove it. Open up your schools as you read Isaiah 58 to the homeless. Don't listen to the lawyers. Get the best priests and lay people that are not only going to feed them, but bring them to Christ and teach them to walk in faith. Start small. Start small, but build up. If the church doesn't step to the plate in these perilous times, who do we expect to step to the plate? The government? Give me a royal break. The government only is self-servient. And that's the way it is. But you see, as I say, the lectionary is prophetic. It is so prophetic. Yesterday we heard, you know, don't pray to be heard. Don't put on marks of penance to be seen. But pray in your heart. Quietly in your closet, where only the daddy, the papa, father sees us. Today we heard from Exodus. It's very interesting, you know. And I just was reading it, and I was had some thoughts, you know, because the church will give us Exodus during Lent, and that's for the office of readings. And I just want I want to read part of Exodus to you, and I want to insert some of the things I was thinking. And after Joseph died and all of his brethren and all that generation, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. They don't any longer. The children of Israel and the children of the church do not increase abundantly. The Muslims do. The Muslims do. Not us. You see, we use birth control and abortion. And these Jewish people multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, and this king did not know Joseph and all that Joseph had done for Egypt. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. We've got too many people. And now we have Margaret Sanger coming in. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when they fall out of any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us and get them up out of the land. Yep. Margaret Sanger lying about a population explosion, okay? She even went to jail as she propagated her lies on birth control and abortion. Therefore, they did set out taskmasters to afflict them with burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities in Pithon and in Ramses. All right, treasure cities. These are the abortion mills. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. That sounds like the Muslims. It's certainly not the Christians and the Jews. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor and made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in the manner of the service in the field. That sounds like the government putting restrictions on the people who even try to save lives at the abortion mill. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. If you go over this line at Planned Parenthood, you get arrested. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women, this is Planned Parenthood, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Now in China, it's just the opposite. China, it's just the opposite, okay? You know, baby killing has not changed. Child killing had not changed. First, they offered their children to Moloch. Now, they want to kill the Israeli children, you see. Now, we kill our children. There's a black genocide going on, and a black president is for a black genocide. You go to Washington, D.C., I believe like 90% of the people who have abortions are black. It's a black genocide. And here we have a black president wanting to kill black children. But thank God the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, Why have you done this thing? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Well, my friends, things haven't changed. Things haven't changed. We have killed 50 million children. Now we experiment on embryonic stem cells, and those are individuals. We do not even put up a fuss about it anymore. There is no fuss about it anymore. You know, why don't we get up in arms? Because most of our people that are Catholic have been evangelized not by the gospel, but by the world. I was talking with Maria Vadia, and she said that she never thought that she would see what happened in Cuba happen in the United States. She says it's the exact same thing what Castro promised and now what Obama is promising. It's all about socialism. But not only that, but Mr. Obama is for the killing of children, and we pay for them over the world now, and the FOCA Act will pass, and that will mean there will be no restrictions. Mothers have no rights over their children if they're pregnant. What will God do? He will lead us into the dark wilderness, and our economy will go from bad to worse, and we will reach the depths of depression, and God alone knows how we will deal with it through looting and stealing and doing everything else. But you see, there is a way out. And the way out is Jesus Christ. And the way out is a repentant heart. A clean heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me of my sin. Oh yes, that is the answer. The answer is repentance. I'm telling you, my friends, and repentance must begin with the Church of God. And you know, it's nice to read in the Herald Father Erickson saying, these are days of renewal. Then let's get renewed. I'm sick of words. Renewal takes faith and courage. Renewal takes living like a martyr. Renewal takes living the faith. Renewal takes getting blows from the world. Renewal says, I don't listen to lawyers. Renewal says, I hear the gospel and the gospel call, and I will do what God says. That's what renewal says. Renewal cannot take place apart from the Holy Spirit. He is the renewer. He began the church, and the church must continue in his power, and he blows where he wills, and he comes with fire, and he makes us uncomfortable. Renewal is uncomfortable, my friends. It is not an easy thing. It is not eating bonbons. It is not fasting on bread and water. Renewal means to put my life at the service of Jesus Christ, that I live no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Renewal has to do with I put myself with him on the cross, that I live for him, and I live to do Isaiah 58, that I live to do Isaiah 58. Renewal is not a nice word. It will condemn us. We are in renewal. Let me tell you, renewal. You know what happens when you have renewal in a bank? Let's think. I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about renewal in a bank. Listen, they're going to fix the bank. Now it's all dusty, it's all dirty, it's all dug up, and there's a big sign that says, pardon the inconvenience. That's right. You want renewal? You gotta dig the old up and cast it out and bring the new in, which is the Holy Ghost and his power. You want renewal? Then you'd be like Jesus. You speak to the poorest of the poor, and you love them, and you take them into your home, and you heal them. You want renewal? You pray on your face in repentance for the sins of the church and of your own personal sins. I'm talking to myself now. You want renewal? It doesn't come easy. It only comes with surrender. I am sick of words that people use. I want to see renewal. I don't want to hear renewal. I want to see people living no longer for themselves, but for Jesus Christ. I don't only want right doctrine. I want right living, because your right doctrine could get you in hell. But your right living without Jesus Christ will also get you in hell. renewal. Got to pay the price. Got to pay the price. And who wants to pay the price? That's the issue. In the life that we live today, we want to speak words and go on. I include myself. Have mercy on us, O God. Blood of Jesus, save us. Blood of Jesus, scourged, save us. Blood of Jesus that flowed from your wounded head to the crown of thorns, save us. Blood of Jesus, terror of demons, save the church and the country. Blood of Jesus, which came forth from the cross, save us. Blood and water that came forth from the cross, save us, wash us, inebriate us, cleanse us, renew us. Without your blood, we have nothing. Only the blood will set us free. Blood of Jesus, take root in my heart. If you would like, you can listen to me or see me on fathertoms.com, FatherTom.com, fathertoms.com, fathertoms.com, it's my .com, fathertoms.com, and tell us about it, if you like it or if you don't. We're doing the best we can. We're all a bunch of amateurs, and you know what? I'm not Rush Limbaugh. I don't have trillions of dollars behind me, but I do have the Holy Ghost. And you know what? The Holy Ghost is enough, because I tell you, he's so wonderful, that Holy Ghost. He is the renewer. He is the renewer. He is the renewer. We can't live without that Holy Spirit, that Spirit of God that not only does miracles, but causes us to get into places that will cause us to get into trouble. Hallelujah. I tell you why people don't want the Holy Ghost. He'll get you into trouble. He'll lead you places you don't want to go. He will bring you to the cross. But I can't live without the Holy Ghost myself. I need the Holy Spirit more than I need the air that I breathe. If you want to listen to us or see us, it's fathertoms.com, fathertoms.com, FatherTom.com. Tonight, 7:30, it's Thursday. We will have Mass at the Holy Rosary. You're welcome to come, followed by adoration. And tonight we're going to wail before the Lord after adoration. We didn't last night. We're going to wail before the Lord, asking for mercy. Mercy, Lord, through the blood of Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.